Let's dance.
Dance. Dance. Dance.
Something like that. We got rhythm today. It's me, John Richards, and Sully. And when you think rhythm, I hope you think those people. But, yeah, let's just leave that there. Anyway, back to politics and dancing and the tap dancing that is done in an election year. Because, as y'all know, I've kind of got my other project that I work on called Policy Best. And the point is to work on substantive issues that actually affect people where they live and make things happen. But in election years, we have to share airtime with other topics that are being talked about as if it's going to be the end-all, be-all. Civilization and the world as you know it will end if we don't pass laws that do stuff other laws already do. But it's all we could come up with to get people on the radio and TV news to talk about us and editorial writers to write columns about us and that kind of stuff. And so one of the things that apparently we're going to save religion this year. If we don't enact a law this year, then you will not be able to go to church on Sundays. You will not be able to practice and worship anything anywhere at any time because somehow apparently your ability to do that in the state of Georgia will not pass. If we do not codify something that already appears to be fairly well codified in both the First Amendment and the Civil Rights Act, but we're going to try to do that in Georgia. And so, John, you kind of there was a new bill introduced this week that the Speaker of the House telegraphed was coming way back in the summer.
I think
when the House caucus met at their summer meeting somewhere on the coast of Georgia, Jekyll Island, I think. Word came out that the House would actually have a response to what's called the Religious Freedom Bill that's been pushed by the Senate that, depending on who you talk to, does nothing and or will stop you from baking cakes at gay weddings or something like that.
Right.
House has at least come up with an idea that they want to make sure that, going back to what we talked about in an earlier segment, that pastors will not have interference. There's a mayor in Houston, as an example, that wanted pastors to start submitting their sermons for approval to the Houston city government. So that got a few people scared of what could be happening, and so the House Republican caucus apparently decided, okay, we at least see that there's some protection that might need to be added at the state level to go here, and then the bill showed up this week, and it had a little more to it. So, why don't you characterize what they did? Because I'll be honest, I've glanced over it, but I didn't quite get the nuance here. But it seems to be a little closer to the Religious Freedom Bill than some were expecting.
I mean, now it's got three sections to it. And one is the protection for pastors that allows that pastors whose religious beliefs are such that they don't want to marry someone, or it isn't even restricted to marriage. It's just an activity that they feel goes against their religion, that they'll be protected. Nobody will be able to force them to do it. But they extended it not only to cover pastors themselves, but also to property owned by a nonprofit church, which could be a church school, it could be a hospital, it could be other types of church-run institutions, to say that they do not have to necessarily accept people or allow activities on their property if they disagree with their religion. And then the third part is a prevention of the state forcing businesses to be open on Saturday or Sunday, which in Georgia law are days of rest. Kind of an oddball thing.
That's called the Chick-fil-A clause, just to protect that no entity shall come in and basically force Chick-fil-A to be open on Sundays. And that's become an issue in other parts of the country where Chick-fil-A, specifically airport leases.
Right.
A lot of airports say if you have a lease on concessions in our airport, you must operate when the airport is open within certain hours, 7 days a week. And that held up an airport lease very famously in Denver.
Right.
I believe it was also the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport that had a brief problem with it. But Chick-fil-A was already open when they instituted this rule. And when they realized Chick-fil-A was grossing more than all but one restaurant, I believe, even though they were only open 6 days, and ultimately at the end of the day, what the airport really wants is the commission or whatever. They get a portion of the sales in addition to their lease. They're like, hey, we really going to shut down our second most popular restaurant because they won't open on Sunday? So it wasn't as big of a deal in Minneapolis as it was in Denver, where they held up the lease over refusal to be open on Sunday. So I think that's where
That
clause is coming from.
Right.
But
there's a kicker that goes on this whole thing. I mean,
there's always a kicker.
So This bill was finally dropped on Wednesday afternoon and became House Bill 757. But just prior to that, Kevin Tanner, who's the representative who is the sponsor of the Pasture Protection Act, dropped another bill, House Bill 756, that also provides some protection for, in this case, religious businesses. And what it says,
so those are separate bills.
They're separate bills.
That's a distinction
right.
I was not even aware of at
all
this
right.
point in my skimming of this.
And it says, no sole proprietor, partner in a business partnership, a close corporation, shall be required to sell goods or services directly to a religious organization or for a religious or matrimonial ceremony in violation of such seller's right to free exercise of religion. So this is the bill that would conceivably go ahead and protect the cake baker who prefers not to make a wedding cake for a gay couple, or the photographer, or anybody, let's say, who wanted to come in and prepare stuff for a Muslim ceremony. I mean, it's not just strictly something that is against the LGBT community. It could be used in many other ways.
So you're saying that this is a stalking horse to implement Sharia law in Georgia?
It could quite potentially be. I
imagine
you don't
that's
know.
Not how it's being sold at the Capitol.
The Speaker's office is very much interested in getting the Pastors Protection Act passed. And the Speaker has said that he will do what he can to get that done. The Speaker doesn't often get really involved in a bill. Last year it was the transportation bill and Alan Peake's marijuana bill. This is the one, the Pastor Protection Act is going to be the one that he's going to get involved with. Once that gets done, heads over to the Senate, then there may be time for other bills. That's the message I'm getting.
Let's jump to one of those other issues then with you just mentioned
Alan Peake's medical marijuana. Sure.
To me, that's one of the more interesting ones this year because the Speaker is backing Representative Peake's bill and the governor isn't real happy about it. You were down there all week this week. There's clearly what I'd say grassroots and a groundswell of momentum, but the governor is still the governor and the governor has veto power. Is anyone figured out the end game here of where we think this is going?
Certainly there's enough support in the House to get it passed. I mean, we've got enough folks out there, so that's not the issue. What I think is going to happen is that the concerns that I've heard from some, though, deal with the fact that you're going to be opening up the medical marijuana to a much wider class of people because if you're in pain, you could get a subscription, or a prescription, that widens it up. And it also
pretty much puts it in California terms, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, I have not read the legislation, but it does open it up that way. And the other concern is that they're going to allow the medical marijuana oil, the cannabidiol oil, to be more potent, so there's a possibility somebody will get high. And I've heard some questions about that. Again, the governor's not real happy. I don't think anything's going to happen this year except Peake is going to continue to sell it, and maybe next year it'll come to fruition and get passed then.
Okay, switching to one other issue that, Georgia already has an official English only as the official language of the state of Georgia law. And Senator McCoon, also, who is one of the chief sponsors of various RFRA bills, wants now to have a constitutional amendment to make English only. Real need or stunt?
Stunt. I don't see where that really gets us anywhere. We already have a law that basically says that there are a ton of exceptions. Dealing with certain things that have to be in multiple languages, airline stuff and whatever. There are a lot of bills that get thrown out that you see strictly because they're message bills from certain people. You know, I was looking at the Senate hopper today, he said, as he tried to pull out the what he saw. People have filed a whole number of bills, again, just strictly intended to send messages. There's one prohibiting candidates for public office, unless they're a citizen, amendment to the Constitution preventing people to be appointed by the governor. Just stuff that's not going to go anywhere.
Well, maybe it's setting up for a bid for Congress, and maybe he'll, anyway, it's going to be a fun session. We've got a good bit of ways to go to get through it. One of the things we didn't get to, you've got a post on today, and we're not even going to try to start in the minute we have left, but what we're really going to focus on next week, and what I personally will be focused on next week, is budget. The budget, it will have their hearings. Everyone was told to come in with flat budgets, and the main beneficiary this year is raises for state employees because they've gone roughly 8 to 9 years without a pay raise in the same, and you're going to see specific things in the budget addressed for agencies that have very high turnover because they were, believe it or not, while we like to think some state agency, I mean, state employees are just sitting there being lavishly paid and doing nothing, you'd be surprised at what the salaries are for some state employees. And we've got some agencies with 40 and 50% turnover rate. So that's being one of the major issues this year being addressed with money that was not already occupied with the increases to education, and then the things that go up every year, such as extra money for Medicaid expense, state employee health expense, those other things. So next week, we might talk a little bit about the numbers, but we'll have a whole nother week of stuff of what happened this week at the Georgia General Assembly. So until next Friday, you could always find us again, the new site, Georgia, G-E-O-R-G-I-A, Paul, P-O-L, Georgia, Paul. com.
And there are links on that site that will let you sign up for our Twitter and Facebook feeds.
Twitter,
and we're
Facebook
not going to try to spell it out for you, but if you go there, you'll see it easily enough.
Hopefully soon, daily email resuming as well. But that's where your state and local politics of all parties, all stripes, and all ideologies can be found in one place with common sense discussion and sometimes even being civil about it. But after this, we're going to give the mics back to Sully. He's going to have Rick Limpert coming up to join in the next hour. He's got Georgia Tech basketball tickets. If that's your thing, Mayor Pete Gibbons of Bowden, join that. And happy birthday to Rob Adkerson, Chief of Staff for Barry Loudermilk, friend of mine, good guy. Got another hour of Sully Show coming up, WGST, 640 AM, right after this.